I'd like to welcome you to our worship service this morning, April the 26th, 2020. I'd like to praise the Lord and give Him praise, thanks. Our call to worship, taken from 1 Chronicles. Give to the Lord the glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. The world also is firmly established, it shall not be moved. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad, and let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar in all its fullness, let the field rejoice in all that is in it. Then the trees of the woods shall rejoice before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Our first hymn is taken from Hymns of the Family of God, hymn number 417, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to Thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, Thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relief, because Thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, Thy love unknown hath broken every barrier down. Now to be Thine, yes, Thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come. Our second hymn, taken from the Hymns of the Family of God, hymn number 73, I Am Trusting Thee, Lord Jesus.
I am trusting Thee, Lord Jesus, trusting only Thee, trusting Thee for full salvation, great and free. I am trusting Thee to guide me, Thou alone shalt lead. Every day an hour supplying all my need. I am trusting Thee for power, Thine can never fail. Words which Thou Thyself shalt give me must prevail. I am and trusting thee, Lord Jesus, never let me fall. I am trusting thee forever and for all.
Our next hymn is Hymns from the Family of God, hymn number 228.
I will sing of my Redeemer, how his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life hath brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free.
Our salutation this morning is taken from Proverbs. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Reading from the Old Testament, Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Let us pray. Our Father in God, we thank you that you are merciful to us. Lord, we would ask that we would learn to be still and know that you are God. We ask that we would understand that you are holy, that you are righteous, that you are good, that you do all things after the counsel of your own will. We ask, Lord, that we would come before you in humility, and that we would learn to confess our sins, that we would be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit as he convicts us of sin, and he convicts us of judgment and righteousness, and leads us into truth. We ask, Lord, that we would be careful to understand that when we pray, we enter into your holy throne room, and that you are receiving us because we come through the blood of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Our assurance of pardon comes from 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Our next hymn is hymn number 404 in the Hymns for the Family of God.
O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. O light that followest all my way, I yield my flickering torch to thee. My heart restores its borrowed ray, that in thy sunshine's blaze its day may brighter, full, fairer be. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that lifteth up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be.
Let us pray. Our Father and God, we come before you as your people, and we bow before you and acknowledge that your thoughts are not our thoughts, and your ways are not our ways. And we confess, Lord, that as we suffer through this plague that the whole world is enduring, that we know that you are sovereign, and that you are teaching your church, we ask that we would be those who would be still and learn of you. We thank you that through all of this pandemic and economic stress and social pressure, that you are going to be glorified, and each of us who are your children are being molded and shaped into the image of your Son, and that your church is being edified. We would ask, Lord, that you would cause each of us to rest in you, that we would cast all of our care upon you, that we would be those who would use this opportunity to exalt your Son and to tell others of eternal life that they may have by believing on the work and person of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you have revealed these things to us, and we ask that we would be your faithful servants in declaring the gospel. Father, we know that all men will one day stand before you and answer for the deeds that they have done. So we ask that you would work in the lives of those who are making decisions. We know, Lord, that many of these decisions have ruined other people's lives. We know that in the process of making these decisions that they don't have enough information, that they know not what they are doing. We ask, Lord, that they would turn to you, that they would bow the knee and confess that you are the know, that you know all things, that you know the end from the beginning. And we ask that we who are your people will learn to take no thought for the morrow, for sufficient is the evil today. We ask that we would be those who would fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. We ask, Lord, that we truly would be salt and light, and that we would be those who would not hide our light under a bushel. We thank you that we expect the soon return of your Son. And we ask, Lord, that each of us would be ready, that we would be found to be faithful servants. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Our scripture reading today is taken from Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. David, the author of this psalm, was a murderer. He was an adulterer. The book of 2 Samuel is, first of all, David's fame. The last half of 2 Samuel is David's shame. And yet, God, through his prophet Samuel, says that David is a man after God's own heart. How is this so? How is it that a man who sinned greatly, who as a king did not go out to war but stayed home, and because he stayed home, his eyes cast about upon a beautiful woman and he committed adultery, and then to hide his sin, he ended up murdering her husband. And later on, the consequences of that behavior is that he ended up having one son murder another son, and that son that was murdered had raped one of his daughters. How is it that this man is a man after God's own heart? Psalm 131 gives us a glimpse into David's soul. It's important to understand that it's the soul that God looks upon. As David wrote in Psalm 51, "Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me." As you remember that, how many of you, how many times have I asked God to search me, try me, see if there be any wicked way in me? Psalm 131 is a glimpse into his soul, and it begins with, "Lord, my heart is not haughty," or "my heart is not proud." The heart of every man is naturally proud. Everything in civil life tends to draw the heart of man to pride. Riches, honor, birth, blood, wisdom, knowledge, learning, strength, beauty, And often we think we're superior to another. Some of us think we're superior because of our education. Some think that we are superior because we're wealthy. Or some of us think we're superior because we know, or we think we know, more than the other. But persons who have not the grace of God will be proud. That is human nature. And men tend to be pure in their own eyes. They take pride in their power of free will. They choose this or that. And they think that their good works make them acceptable to God. But if the heart is truly contrite under a sense of sin and melted with the discoveries of pardoning love, it will be humble, not proud. And those who have humble hearts have seen the pride of their own hearts and the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Their inability to have power to do that which is spiritually good, and their imperfection in all they do, they see it in the light of the excellency and the suitableness of Christ's righteousness. And they understand that all of their salvation is of grace, and that grace is entirely free. The more spiritual understanding and experience a man has, the greater humility they have. And this was David's case. What he said here was no doubt true. He hated lying, and besides, he speaks this in the presence of and to God, the searcher of hearts. He addresses Yahweh, the covenant God, Yahweh. My heart is not proud. David understands with whom he is addressing. And though David was anointed to be king and knew that he was going to be the successor to Saul, yet he was not elated by it. He did not hold that in front of his eyes. He served Saul humbly, and he comes before God and says, Yahweh, my heart is not haughty. And then he reiterates that he is not proud when he says, nor mine eyes lofty. They were often lifted up to God in prayer, but not lifted up above his fellow creature. He behaves himself humbly as well as wisely in Saul's court. He was anointed to be the next king when he played his harp before Saul. He was anointed to be the next king when Saul chased him around the Judean hills. But as he served in Saul's court, he was raised to great dignity. And he gained the affections of the court and the people of Israel. But he did not raise his eyes in pride. But there are those whose eyes are lofty. There are those who look down upon others. The rich look down on the poor. In the New Testament, Christ tells of the Pharisee who looked down upon the publican. The book of Proverbs reminds us that there's a whole generation who has lofty eyes and their eyelids are lifted up. This matter of lifting up your eyes is the character of Antichrist. His look is loftier than his fellows, and that proud look is abominable in the sight of God. Proverbs tells us that there are six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. This was not David's case, as he could not bear this in others, he would not suffer it in himself. David continues and he says, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, or walk in them. These were not the subject of his employment or conversation. If you remember, David did many great things. He killed the lion and the bear that came into his father's flock. He slew a Goliath with a sling and a stone. He led out the armies of Israel, slaying his 10,000s, and he exercised himself in the great things of the law, which he was careful to observe, and studied the great things of the gospel, which he had the highest esteem of, and desired to understand, but he did not seek human greatness, or the great things of this world for himself. He had no ambitious views, or was desirous of the kingdom he was anointed to, before the time appointed. You remember when Saul asked David, or gave David his daughter for David to marry. David's response was, who am I? What is my life or my family's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? Not only did David not exercise himself in great matters, he didn't contemplate or exercise himself in things that were too high for him or too wonderful. When Job answered the Lord in Job 42, Job acknowledged the problem of things that were too high also. He responds to the Lord and he says, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. David contemplated the wonderful make and frame of his body, the texture, symmetry, and use of each of its parts. He observed the wonderful providences of God toward him ever since he had been had a being, and particularly he took notice of the wonderful love of God to him, and remembered and talked of and declared the wonderful works of grace and redemption, but not things above his capacity, out of his reach, in which are secret, or not clearly revealed, and such things we would be content to be ignorant of, or not to have adequate ideas of, or be capable of accounting for, as the being and perfections of God, particularly his immensity and eternity, the mode of subsisting of the persons in the Godhead, the generation of the Son and procession of the Spirit, the incarnation of Christ, and the union of the two natures in him, present providences unsearchable and past finding, future things, especially the times and seasons. Listen to David from another psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it together. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. David continues in verse 2, and he says, as a child that is weaned of its mother. The weaned child has not what it would have, or what it naturally most desires, the milk of the breast. yet it is contented with what the mother gives. It rests upon her love and provision. So we are to be content with what Providence allows. The writer of the Hebrews tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Paul writes in Philippians, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Whatever pleases our Heavenly Father should please us. The child that is put from the breast to a harder diet is yet contented at last. The child does not prescribe what it will eat, drink, or put on. Children don't naturally care to increase possessions, heap up riches, or aspire after dignity and honor, but meekly take what is provided for them. The child, when it has lost the food which nature provides for it, is not anxious, but wholly refers itself to the mother, hangs upon the mother. So for everything whatsoever should we depend upon God, refer ourselves to God, and expect all things from Him. As the psalmist writes, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. With such a simplicity of submission should we rest and depend upon God. Let us take heed of being overwise and careful for ourselves. But let us trust our Father which is in heaven, and refer ourselves to His wise and holy government. David then turns from examining his own self and praying before God, and he turns to others. What he did for himself that he found to be good, he knew also to be good for others, and therefore he exhorts and encourages, let Israel hope in the Lord from henceforth and forever. To hope in the Lord and wait for His salvation, which should be done constantly and to the end of life, or till the thing hoped for is enjoyed. Listen to Peter. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our hope is in God the Father, who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit work in us according to their good pleasure to mold us into the image of Christ. We read in Romans chapter 8, all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. And that good and purpose in Romans 8:29 is to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are to hope in God. The psalmist reminds us in Psalm 130, O Israel, hope in Yahweh, for with Yahweh there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all of Israel's iniquities. Let us pray. Our Father and God, we do praise You and thank You that indeed You do love us with an everlasting love. We thank You and praise You that it is Your good pleasure to call us out of darkness into Your light. It is Your good pleasure to give us the indwelling Spirit whereby we call You Father. And it is Your good pleasure to mold us into the image of Your Son. We ask, Father, that we truly would learn to bow the knee and to be humble before You, knowing that we are, by Your mercy and grace, Your servants, Your children, co-inheritors with Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that we who are your people, have the great expectation and promise of the soon return of Jesus Christ. We ask that we would remember that we are but pilgrims and sojourners upon this earth. We don't belong here. Our citizenship is in heaven. And let us remember that as long as we are on this earth in these bodies, we are absent from you. But we look forward to that time when we are absent from these bodies and in your presence. We thank you for these things in the name of your Son. Amen. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion.